Hello, I'm Seth Dello, and today I've come to Chard in South Somerset to conduct an interview for the Marshwood Vale magazine's audio series exploring different aspects of life in our wider local community. Many organisations exist across our region specifically to assist those with mental health, and it is these organisations that help people from all walks of life and all ages with practical support and advice. To understand further how mental health policy is translated into practical initiatives and assistance, I've come to the Watch Project in Chard, which was founded in 2010 and is one example of a project aimed at providing socially isolated individuals from Chard and the surrounding areas with a place to grow by developing confidence, friendships, and valuable skills. In this first part, I will establish the operational remit and importance of the project, who it supports, and the much-anticipated weekly Thursday Watch Project. With me to discuss this further is Julie Matthews, the Director and CEO of the Watch Project, who has been involved before and since its formal inception 10 years ago. Julie, how did you first get involved with the Watch Project?
Hi, Seth. Thanks for inviting me on to Marshwood Vale and having the opportunity to share a little bit about what the Chard Watch Project does here in Chard and of course across Somerset. I'm currently the manager but also the founder of the Watch Project, which originally started in 2007. I experienced my own mental health problems way back through going through various different traumas at the time, which I think we all experience through our lives. I became very isolated and went into a clinical depression, which I wasn't expecting, that sort of hit me at the time, and was sort of starting to isolate myself. And I think that's where my journey started, because I used to walk along the roads in Somerset, being very depressed, looking down at the tarmac, and I used to be wondering how the little daisies used to push their way through the dark tarmac. And used to think, how do they do that? How do they, through that sticky, dark tarmac, push their way through? And especially because it was so black, the tarmac. And I used to think, I kept thinking, that's just like me, how I'm feeling the tarmac, very depressed. And how could I be like a daisy? How could I push my way through my depression and actually change my life, which seemed to be that I was very stuck. At the time, I was accessing the mental health services day centres. And there was an opportunity that came along to learn about intentional peer support and the various NHS organisations across the southwest were going to train 35 service users to learn about intentional peer support and bring over Sherry Mead and Chris Hansen from the States to show how the importance of peer support and how it can help people in their recovery. Because often when you're with another peer, you have that mutual understanding. There's a sense of you both being there, and sometimes you don't have to explain anything. There are not so many barriers. There's not the fear of speaking about your own mental health, which I did certainly at the time, and I didn't want people to know how I was suffering or stuck. And everybody, of course, wants at that time family, friends. I had the opportunity to get onto this training, which was 7 days training down in Bovey Tracy in Devon. And I was totally inspired. Here I was with 35 other people experiencing difficulties and learning about peer support. And I came away from that training, which was the idea of going back to our community and setting up a peer group, which, to cut a long story short, I did. I came back to the day centre, and within the services there, we set up a small group of about 3 or 4 of us and called ourselves the Chard Intentional Peer Support Group. We then grew to a large group of 5, 6, 7, and actually talking just makes a great difference, and I started to feel less stuck. I felt like people understood where I was, and I think that breaks down isolation for a start, is when you get that feeling you've connected with some other people. But that's where I learned about peer support, and Chard Intentional Peer Support Group went on for a few years of getting involved in activities together, and that was the first start of our journey.
Could you give an overview of the Watch Project?
Okay, so going on from Chard Intentional Peer Support Group, we suddenly realised in Chard that it wasn't just ourselves with mental health issues that were isolated. There were elderly people that were isolated, lone parents, people with drug and alcohol, migrant workers, disabled people, people with learning difficulties. We realised how could we carry on and do something else, especially with the fact that the day centres had unfortunately closed then. So we thought we'd rent a room, the youth centre at first, which was great because we started having various people come in and organisations introducing people that they knew that were isolated to us. And with the support of some fantastic funding organisations, we were able to set up the WATCH project, which stands for Working All Together in Chard. So we started that in 2010, August 2010, I remember it well, and we've been going ever since, and the project has been developing since then.
Why are local projects and initiatives such as the WATCH project so important?
The WATCH project is important, not only the WATCH project, I do believe lots of other fantastic projects that are around as well, is to have a place that people can meet, where there is that feeling when you come through the door, and this has been created by everyone here, is that feeling that you're not going to be judged. You can come if you want to one day. If you're not feeling up to it another day, that's fine. You can come, you can leave the project and you can come back. Don't come back for 6 months, don't come back for a year. And people do come back, some people don't, maybe it's not what they want, but there's not a judgment. I always feel like it's finding the right place for you. So what is, I feel good about our project is that we help people connect. It's vast out there at the moment with the amount of organisations, the resources and everything. And sometimes when there's so much, we don't sometimes bother at all. Whereas if you can get to know people here and get to know about the other organisations, those small steps start to open a wider door for you, really. It opens up an awful lot.
How does the WATCH project reach out to new members?
One thing that did happen with our project, we were lucky to, with the Somerset Partnership at the time a few years ago, had the opportunity to develop some peer support workshops. And the idea was that Somerset Partnership were delivering the self-management programme, which was a course to help people look at ways of self-managing themselves. We were able to, after those so many weeks of that course, do four workshops which we designed to help people learn about peer support, which is exactly what I learnt with our small group, the value of peer support. So it seemed to make sense that if we could actually show how we had moved on in lots of ways by these facilitated workshops, that would be us, in a funny sort of way, coming full circle, really. Then we delivered with the partnership 3 years or so of peer workshops across the whole of Somerset. So we actually help lots of small groups of people so they can set up their own small peer group. And that has happened. Lots of not only our organisation, Mind Rethink, and many, many others that get involved in peer support, helping peer groups set up so people can have their small group. Whether it can be two or three, which I know fishermen that have set up a little group, to a walking group, to a photography group, or a group that does all sorts of things. A supportive group that can actually act as friends to help you stay connected and actually feel that you have value. Because I think when you're isolated, the worst thing is that your potential is not being tapped into. And I think everybody has a tremendous potential.
How many members do you have?
We have over 100 members. On a Thursday project, which is one day a week, 11 till 4, when prior to COVID, it's actually on a video link at the moment for people to access, we would have up to, say, 30 members. So that would vary from week to week. Outside of the Thursday project, there could be trips out and activities that members are going on. And that doesn't include, currently at the moment, we're supporting people on an emotional support line. So there's people there that we're supporting. It is for adults over 18, no upper age limit, because I think our eldest has been 90-something. And that's lovely because you get that intergenerational mix, which is lovely. Yeah, I mean, there's a good mixture of people accessing us, so certainly all ages. And the members can come via an introduction from any supporting organisation, via a GP, from a housing organisation, from another community project, or somebody can actually ring up and self-refer.
Can you explain a bit more about the Thursday Watch project?
Prior to COVID-19, we had been open on a Thursday, 11 till 4 o'clock, and we have a lunchtime, and members attend the project. And we do a variety of things here. It's really sort of tea and talk, meet and greet, getting to know everybody, art activities, but anything that anybody wants to put on for themselves. Maybe a member's got an idea that they actually want to do, and we have. We've had members set up their own mini projects within the project. We can learn skills off everyone. So it's going back to really the five ways of well-being. It's about giving as well. Anything can change here. Come and have a game of pool, darts, organise an activity to go out for a walk or something. And people come in and sit and have useful discussions. And also we do have a lot of speakers come to the project. This is a good opportunity for people from, say, for instance, Department of Work and Pensions come and, you know, break some down some of those barriers that they have and the fears of applying for work, etc. We've had very interesting talks. Other voluntary organisations come and give talks of what they do. And also things like relaxation. We do reflexology here, and we're open to having any new things, health and well-being, how to look after eating, finances. It goes on and on and on.
In this second part, I will explore the impact of the coronavirus on day-to-day operations, its funding situation, and the future trajectory of the project. With me to discuss this further is Julie Matthews, the director and CEO of the Watch Project, who has been involved before and since its formal inception 10 years ago. So Julie, what impact has the coronavirus had on the Watch Project?
So we have been closed, unfortunately, because of the COVID-19. So that was a concern for us all, how we were going to keep in contact with everybody. As soon as we were able, we set up a video link so that we open on a Thursday, but via video link. And we call it Watcharama, and the members can come on and go off. And we do quizzes, and we have, actually it's very funny because I've come off it a couple of times and gone back in, and they're in hysterics of laughter because they're doing some silly game or something. And we're going on to do something very shortly about a learning forum where people can come in and think about what they would like to do in this very difficult situation, of some progression really and some hope in their lives. And then we've obviously gone live with our new website, and where we're going to put as much information on. And there's so many different organisations, like the Recovery College, which is Somerset Wellbeing Learning Community, which is free courses. So these things don't have to cost you money. And there are activities now where people are meeting up to go for walks that are all, you know, risk assessed and everything properly, so that people can get out, because I think we need some hope around at the moment.
Where does the Watch Project source its funding from?
I think over the years it's been funded by very kind donations from people. We've had some lovely donations, and it's also funded by the members coming into the project. We don't charge a lot, so we charge about £1.50 to get in, so someone for the whole day, including a hot lunch and teas and coffees, probably wouldn't spend more than £5. So we have a little bit of funding coming in like that, but also the members have gone out and done walks, or someone's gone and done a run for us. But of course, to run a project like this, you do need some good funding, and we've been lucky with organisations like Somerset Community Foundation, who fund a lot of community groups and help them get established. A wonderful organisation, and Somerset Skills and Learning. We've delivered various courses and workshops, as I said, about peer support, and that has helped fund us. Currently, we're getting funded by Somerset County Council to deliver, again, peer support and self-management programme through the Somerset Mental Wellbeing Service. And, of course, the big lottery. But there are lots of grants that we've had from, you know, from Chard Town Council to the Co-op and Tesco, and they do help enormously. And it's certainly been a challenge because we constantly have to do the grant applications, and that means the reporting and everything. But actually, that actually does teach us something about finance and how to be more cost effective.
For several decades, mental health funding has been behind that of acute hospital services for physical conditions, with the NHS even describing it as being the poor relation. What is the current situation of funding like in our area, and what developments are happening?
From what I hear, it is going to improve. because I can actually see it now. It doesn't feel like it's talk. It actually feels like there are things really beginning to happen. And it's not just the Open Mental Health Network, it's other organisations. All of them seem to be thinking of how they can be a benefit for people that are isolated. How can someone get back to work? And it may be they need to get back to work in a while, but first of all, they need to make those first initial steps, which is the bigger thing. It's no good saying to someone that is really under enormous mental health issues to suddenly be this person that can go and hold down a job in this situation where there's going to be more unemployment. The more organisations there are, and they are coming up. In this alliance, there's four localities across Somerset that are working hard in becoming teams to work together, so that you will have Citizens Advice Bureau with SWEDA, with MIND, with Rethink, Watch, and all the other organisations working together with the NHS. It's going to take a while because everybody's got to work together. But I really do believe, and hope I'm not wrong, but I really do believe there's going to be a lot more resources, and it needs it. It's been needing it for a long time because so many people have gone without as well and fallen through the gaps.
Reflecting on your involvement over the past 10 years, what developments have occurred, and what does the future trajectory of the Watch Project look like?
I think over the years in the Watch Project and learning and some of the expectations we have had, or certainly I have had, of where, you know, if we can offer and connect people and show people what they need, and that was a big mistake I learnt, because I presumed and assumed what people want. And this is where we've changed to be in a project more and more about doing less but being there for people, because I was there out there feeling like I needed to fix people. And I was very lucky to go on another course where Dr. Rani Bora, who was running at the time a course called for Wellbeing Ambassadors, and I was expecting to go on this course and learn about how to sort people out a bit more and what's the tool, this new tool and everything. And then when I got to the course, I suddenly realised it was about me. Because the more we learn about ourselves, the more look at our own personal resilience and our own personal development, I suddenly learned about the inner blue sky. The blue sky is always up there above the clouds, and that the clouds are our thoughts and feelings that are going across. It's what we're born with. It's our true self. And we can have the dark clouds that linger, that come across, but that's always there. And I always used to think I was damaged. And till one day she said, actually, you're not damaged. It feels like I'm damaged because of the experiences that I hold on to. And the more I'm learning about myself, the more I'm trying not to fix it for other people. And I think that is the way forward, and something that we're learning more about at Watch, is not to fix it for people. People have got their own resilience, their own knowledge, their own skills, their potential, etc. And that we just want to share that in Watch. And I'm learning to sit back far more. Just to end on, really, at the moment, we're still delivering a variety of courses. We're very lucky to be part of the Well Wessex Group, which is four independent organisations that were brought together by Lucy Nelson and the Somerset Community Foundation, of grassroots organisations that have like hubs across Somerset. There's Heads Up, Creativity Works, Child Watch Project, and the Wickhant and Balsam Centre, where we meet up, and our aims are going to be to help support organisations all together to access funding, connect together. One piece of work that we're excited about is the Open Mental Health Network, which is bringing in this whole system approach, so that the statutory organisations with the voluntary sector and experts by experience will work together to help combine the services. So there's going to be more openness, transparency and learning. It's very exciting work. I'm particularly pleased as well because we're going to be involved in training the peer volunteers and people with lived experience to help support other people right across Somerset. And some people have actually slipped through in gaps. And this is a way of all of these organisations and the NHS coming together, so there's not the overlapping and everything. So watch this space, because there's obviously lots of new things coming out very shortly.
Thank you, Judy, for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you, Seth. It's been really nice to have the opportunity to do this.
Having the opportunity to interview Judy Matthews gave me a broader understanding of the structure of local mental health initiatives, such as the Watch Project. It is operating at an exciting time, with the potential for growth from further funding opportunities, facilitating more extensive practical assistance at a ground level for its members. More information about the Watch Project can be found at its newly redesigned website at www.watchproject.org.uk, which has a dedicated section regarding how to become involved. It outlines the organisations which are closely linked to the project in our area and ways in which you can, as an individual, help with fundraising. It is also interesting to note that there is some further information about the partners the Watch Project work alongside, such as the Somerset Recovery and Wellbeing Alliance and the Well Wessex Group. What is clearly evident is that the translation of mental health policy into practical assistance locally, such as seen with the Watch Project, is highly valued. These lifelines continue to support some of the most vulnerable in society, and I think it's personally important that we continue to encourage and support such inspiring community initiatives. In this part, I will explore the importance and value that local initiatives such as the Watch Project have with members who regularly use the services on offer. With me to discuss this is mother and daughter members of the Watch Project, Joan and Sarah, who have kindly agreed to be interviewed to share their experiences with me.
My name's Sarah. I've lived in Chard most of my life. Probably about 8 years ago, I had a really bad spell of manic depression and anxiety. And it got to the stage I was at bad, I completely shut myself off from the world. I wouldn't leave the house for any reason. I wouldn't talk to family, friends, anything on the phone. I wouldn't answer the phone, wouldn't answer the front door. If I needed any shopping, my husband would have to go and get it when he finished work. Yeah, I completely shut myself off. And another member who used to come to watch noticed that I was going downhill. I used to go and see her at least once a week. Go uptown, maybe grab a coffee, stuff like that. But I stopped seeing everybody, and she realised I was going downhill. She was the one that got me to go and see the doctor. So I didn't realise how bad I was until it was too late. I was very much self-harming. I had a lot of suicidal thoughts, so very dark hole I was in, and she for months, probably about 3 months, was saying to me, come to the Watch Project. And I was like, well, what is it? Oh, a whole group of people get together, sit around, have a cup of tea in that house. And I was like, that is my worst fear in the whole world, walking into a building that I'm not comfortable with, sitting around with those strangers, having a cup of tea in that is like my worst nightmare. I couldn't even talk sort of like to people outside my immediate family, rather than talking to a complete stranger. And in the end, I thought, right, I'll go. Because she said, well, come, you know, at least if you don't like it, you have a cup of tea, coffee, and go. So for the first couple months, I used to basically go in, sit down, get a cup of coffee, and I wouldn't really move. If anybody sort of like tried to talk to me, to get yes, no answers. That was about it. Very hard to get a conversation out of me whatsoever, because I used to have to meet her outside in the car park, walk in with her. After about 3 months of doing that, she was away on holiday, and I still decided to come up for the week. Yeah, that was unbelievable. The person on the desk noticed I was on my own, and she actually got a couple of other members keeping an eye on me. Now, it's very hard to shut me up.
Why is the Watch Project so important to you?
Watch is highlight of my week, really. Place where I can come, where I'm accepted for who I am. You haven't got no labels attached to you when you walk in the door. Everybody's treated on the same level. It's a lifeline. My only regret was not coming in sooner, because without the Watch, I don't know where I'd be. The amount of peer support you get, no matter if you're having a good day, bad day, hard to put it into words, but you It's like having a second family. Whereas I was looking at sort of like trying to get by day, but now it's like week by week, you know.
Since your involvement, how has the Watch Project enabled you to develop?
You're kind of moving out your comfort zone, but in a way you still feel comfortable trying new things and, yeah, just having somebody that understands you and not judge you for what's happened in the past. You get different ideas of how to deal with stuff that still affect you. People say, well, I've tried this. Might not work for you, but instead of thinking about that, try and look at 10 things with the same colour or try and listen for different noises. So it's taking your mind off how you're feeling and looking for something different. We also have trips out with the watch, which I think is amazing because I don't drive, so I can't get out and about when I want to.
What has your experience of the coronavirus been like?
It is very hard during the coronavirus because probably the first couple of weeks you don't really notice it. Then it starts to get more and more, like, obviously nobody's leaving the house, you're stuck indoors. I stopped going shopping for a while because there was only letting one person in from the household at a time. I found I become more and more isolated, but they have started doing Zoom meetings. So with the help of my daughter, I've got onto Zoom through my mobile and just seeing people's faces and having a general chit-chat or try doing quizzes and over picture quizzes or music quizzes. And generally people talk about how the week's been, how they're feeling. Yeah, I think that's made a huge difference. It's not the same, but when you're able to see somebody and like see all the different faces on the screen, you're kind of like, ah, yeah. It's changed, but without the Zoom meetings, I think I'll be getting back to a darker place again.
What is life like outside of the Watch Project?
So I think still outside of the Watch Project, when we're at town or, you know, you still get people across the road to avoid you and, you know, won't want to talk to you because they know you have mental health problems. I've had that so many times in the past where you see somebody and they spot you and they're across the road. People do change the way they view you when they notice that you've got a condition. You don't get that when you come to the Watch. You know, you're treated as a human being.
Are there any activities you are actively involved with?
I got a lot more involved with art. I actually do some art at home now during the week. I didn't really realise I had any artistic side in me, to be honest. When we first came to Watch, we was working on a mosaic. That was nice because each member sort of like come and do a little bit. I've done things with air drying clay, pastels, even using different types of paints, glass painting. I've also learnt how to crochet. Members of the crochet club come in and teach us how to crochet. Needlework, we've had a member showing people how to do cross stitch, stuff like that. I never would have done anything like that beforehand. When you're doing a piece of art, the time just drifts away. You don't notice how long you sat there doing something for. I got to the stage where I was helping to run the art table. So I was helping others to do their own little art projects. When you're concentrating so hard on what you're doing, you haven't got everything else circling around in your head.
I'm Joan. I am mother to Sarah and Tracy that both come to the Watch. I was living in Chickerell. I got very depressed because I'd lost my job and I was feeling very isolated. I used to come down on the bus and come to Watch occasionally and I thought it was very nice. And then I moved back to the area so I could be closer to the family and started coming to Watch because of the family coming to it. So because I didn't want to go anywhere on my own. And it was just somewhere nice to go where I could feel safe and unjudged.
And how long ago was that you got involved?
4 years,
and
yeah.
Has it been a nice 4 years?
Oh, it's
since?
Brilliant, brilliant. Yes, I made lots of friends, done lots of art. I've even sold art at the Christmas fair, which I wasn't expecting to. I just brought some of my art that I'd done and displayed it, and people wanted to buy something. I said, well, yeah, they can go to the funds of Watch, because I wasn't expecting to sell anything, so that was fine. I've made, because I do patchwork, so I made Watch. They said they needed some tablecloths, so I did them some patchwork tablecloths, which went down very well, and done lots of different things on the art table. Brilliant time. And we've done lots of outings, which have been so good. The Donkey Sanctuary, place at Quantock Hills, and we've been there for residency and helping to clear the brambles and stuff. And it's just up my street. And then we've done Folly Farmyard, and we've done Magdalen Farm, and we've done loads of things. And it's just been brilliant.
From your perspective, can you sum up what the Watch Project do and what that means to you?
Well, it's an open house to anybody that's feeling isolated or lonely or vulnerable or have problems with any sort of addiction. Totally unjudging. And they just welcome everybody. And you can go and you can sit on your own and just not talk to anybody if you don't want to. And nobody worries. But they can also help you. They can talk to you and listen. They're very good at listening. So if you've got a problem, there's always somebody to talk to and air your problems, and they help you sort it out and get it into perspective. And it's just a very nice, safe environment to be. And that's what's brilliant about it.
What was your first experience of the Watch Project?
Because of my two daughters were coming,
yeah,
and they were saying about how good it was, this is why I had to come and find out for myself. And it, obviously, because I was in a vulnerable place, I thought it wouldn't hurt to give it a try, and it went very good. So, yes, recommend it to anybody.
How have you coped throughout the coronavirus?
Well, not terribly well, because obviously it's a feeling of isolation and fear. You know, it's very, very good to listen to the news and be terrified of not being able to go anywhere, do anything, see anybody. And it's very easy to just shut yourself away and not go anywhere and do anything. And it's not good.
And has it been difficult interacting with others?
Not so difficult, because I've been able to get onto Zoom, which I've never done before. I've been on the internet, and I'm quite good, really, on the internet for somebody of my age. But they've helped me with the Zooming, and, yeah, so that's been good, to get onto the Zoom and chat to people and still have contact. You have a set time that you go on, and once I learnt how to get on, you know, is you just chat away. And do we have tea and talk, so everybody gets a chance to say how their week has been and what situation they're in at the present time. And then everybody else is there able to listen, first and foremost, and then give advice if you're looking for advice. So it's worked out very well.
Mm-hmm. What activities do you get involved with, and what memorable experiences have you had?
We have lots of trips out. Most of them are funded, but some of them are just like a fiver to pay for the transport, which I don't mind doing, because as I'm an old age pensioner now, I'm better off than I ever have been. So it's not a problem for me. Obviously, for some people it is, but for people that are really struggling, they have funds that they can help out if they need to. So we've been able to go to so many different varied places and see so many different things and get involved in so many other different projects, because I'm very keen on the conservation and that sort of thing, and we've done loads of things with that. Because we started going to the Magdalen Farm on a residential thing, then I found out that they did voluntary work on a Tuesday, so I started doing that. I only did 2 or 3 days, unfortunately, because my health dropped a bit, but I was able to do that. I also did a day's work with UCAN, which is another group that I got involved with through coming to Watch, and it's also helped me with creativity, like doing poetry. I've really sort of been quite successful at poetry since coming here. Because of coming to Watch, we had several trips to Folly Farmyard, and when I went to Folly Farmyard one time, they had a leaflet, I think it was last year, for a competition for all sorts of different artwork. Could be photography, poetry, all sorts of art you could think of, creative work. Because of that competition, I did a poem about Folly Farmyard, and I won. So then I've done loads of poetry, and it's a real passion of mine when I start, and I'm just writing loads of poetry.
Where would you be without the Watch Project?
In a very dark place, because I haven't got a wide range of friends. I'm not very outgoing and I haven't got a lot of confidence. So the idea of going somewhere totally different terrifies me because I haven't done it before. Once I've done something once, it's not so bad. But I need somebody to hold my hand to go first time. So obviously with my daughters here, I was able to have them meet me and take me in. And once I've been in, that was fine. And obviously that's all that anybody needs is just somebody to help them make that first step. There's always somebody here to help, whether it's family or somebody knows you or recommends you to the thing. There's always somebody that is there to give you that help that you need.
From my interview with Sarah and Joan, I was struck by their honesty surrounding their own personal challenges with mental health. It is evident that both have experienced a real transformation since their involvement as members, something that will continue even despite the current situation. More information about the Watch Project can be found at its newly redesigned website at www.watchproject.org.uk, which has a dedicated section regarding how to become involved. It outlines the organisations which are closely linked to the project in our area and ways in which you can, as an individual, help with fundraising. It is also interesting to note that there is some further information about the partners the Watch Project work alongside, such as the Somerset Recovery and Wellbeing Alliance and the Well Wessex Group. What is clearly evident is that the translation of mental health policy into practical assistance locally, such as seen with the Watch Project, is highly valued. These lifelines continue to support some of the most vulnerable in society, and I think it's personally important that we continue to encourage and support such inspiring community initiatives.